Venerable religious and dear parishioners, I would like to begin the sermon on Good Shepherd Sunday by talking about sheep and why our Lord called us sheep and lambs. I think we can see the suitability of this imagery or this analogy by thinking of the other animals that we're glad our Lord did not call us. He did not call us cattle. He did not call us chickens, pigs, goats. He specifically chose the sheep. And why is that? Well, especially when you see younger sheep, the lambs, you see, I'm sure everybody perceives that lovableness in that particular animal. And I think there's another reason, well, at least a couple of more reasons, why our Lord called us his sheep. He's the good shepherd of us. One of those reasons would have to be that sheep are naturally in flocks. And that is a reminder of the unity that exists among true Catholics. The unity of faith, first and foremost. Sheep stay together. But there is also, if you might call it that, a downside that sheep are such followers. I'm reminded of something that Father Dennis said years ago when he was talking about sheep, and he had seen them, many sheep in New Zealand where he had done much missionary activity. And New Zealand has more sheep in relation to the population of people, I think, than any other country in the world. The climate, the terrain is very suitable for raising sheep there. But anyway, Father Dennis was relating, I think he saw this with his own eyes. We saw a line of sheep going somewhere, and the first one jumped over an imaginary obstacle. And would you know it, every single other sheep after that jumped over the same imaginary obstacle. So it shows that sheep are such followers. And isn't this a main weakness of human beings? We're such followers. We just like to go with the crowd. Even when the crowd is wrong, we have to fight that natural tendency. Well, everybody else is doing it, so it must be okay. No, we have to resist that often enough. But our Lord says in today's gospel that he is the good shepherd. What a beautiful image that is of our Lord among his sheep, taking such good care of them that he even lays his life down for the sheep. We reflected upon that so much during Lent, and we should reflect upon it throughout our lives. Our Lord died for me. He gave up his life for me. He himself said, "Greater love than this no man hath, that a man lay down his life for another." A person who loves himself isn't going to lay down his life for somebody else. Those are the greatest examples of heroism, where somebody, often on the spur of the moment, will willingly sacrifice his life for somebody else. We read about this many times in history. We read about this in battle situations. And the highest possible honor that a soldier can receive is the Medal of Honor. And he is granted that because either he died And believe it or well, I'm sure you realize this, many medals of honor are bestowed posthumously. The soldier died saving the lives of his fellow soldiers on the battlefield. He jumped on a grenade, for example. He willingly gave up his life so that somebody else could live. And the Good Shepherd absolutely gave his life, as I said, for us. He's also a Good Shepherd because, as Psalm 22 says, I know it's Psalm 23 in the Protestant Bible because of that difference in enumerating the Psalms, but in our Catholic Bible, Psalm 22 talks about him having his rod and his staff. What does that mean? The staff is his gentle proddings, you might say, but if a sheep really gets recalcitrant, wants to run off or do something bad, then the shepherd might have to use the rod. On a rare occasion, it will happen. And you might say that is the way the Good Shepherd is with us. He gently tries to prod us in the right direction with his staff, but sometimes we might really wander away from him, really get rebellious or have problems, and he might need to use his rod on us, but it's only out of love that he would do that. Again, he's always defending the sheep. He's leading them to good pastures. He's protecting them. Also, the rod is especially used against the wolf. Can you imagine being a shepherd and having to deal with a wolf with a rod? You'd feel a lot more secure if you had a firearm, a gun, that you could shoot the wolf. But they didn't have those back then, so you'd have to use a stout rod to try to fend off a wolf or two or several. How difficult would that be? So this is our beautiful image today, the Good Shepherd watching over us. He continues to do this. He didn't just do this 2,000 years ago. His church exists till the end of time. The Good Shepherd is feeding, guiding, leading, defending his flock. You might say even that he continues to die for his flock. Why? Because every Mass, and remember, this is the true definition of the Mass, not the modernized definition of the Lord's Supper, which the Vatican II Church gives us. No, the Mass is the unbloody renewal of the sacrifice of Calvary because it is the will of Christ that he continue to die mystically and spiritually in every Mass, and no less really than he did on Calvary. So it's an ongoing death. St. Paul says, whenever you eat of this bread and drink of the chalice, he's talking about Holy Communion, you show the death of the Lord. So how good the Good Shepherd is. How well he provides for us. And he gave us a church to be our visible flock here on earth. The invisible part of the flock are the souls that are already in heaven or the souls in purgatory. We can't perceive them, but we can perceive those who have the true faith here on earth. Those are the members of the church. Remember, you have to have the faith before anything else. That's the number one thing. Believe what the Catholic Church has consistently taught through the centuries. That's the flock. Now, obviously, we're living in very perilous times. Some would say the greatest trial the church has ever been in, because those that call themselves Catholic bishops and popes and priests are teaching a new religion, a modernized Catholicism. And this we must not follow. What would we think about a shepherd who would poison his flock or allow the wolves to to attack the flock and do nothing about it, just watch it happen. We'd have to say that shepherd has utterly failed his role. What if, even in good faith, the shepherd was feeding poison to his flock, maybe with the best of intentions, leading them to a patch of grass that has noxious weeds that he knows will kill the sheep? He doesn't know it, but it's happening. What do we think about that shepherd? He's really utterly failing his purpose. If he's, whether no matter what his intentions, if he's allowing them to eat poison that will kill them. And so this is the problem we see today. Heresy is the ultimate poison. What kind of a shepherd would allow the flock to be poisoned? Certainly one who has failed his purpose. And this is why our Lord gave us an infallible papacy. It cannot happen that a true pope would knowingly or unknowingly lead the flock to poisonous pastures. That's the very purpose of the papacy, to be the unerring source of truth. It doesn't mean the pope is going to be a saint. As a matter of fact, he could even be a bad man. That's happened in the history of the church. But a true pope has never led his flock as the visible representative of Christ to poisoned water, to poisoned food, to poison grass or grass that if they eat, it will make them get sick and die. This is why we have to hold fast and be strong, my dear brethren. Yes, we are going through this great time of trial. Fortunately, God has given us bishops who indeed feed us in the right way. Our very own bishop, Bishop Mark Piverunas. His very motto that he has as a bishop is what we read in today's gospel. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Animam pro ovibus ponere, to lay down one's life for the sheep. So how blessed we are. And certainly he has never given us, I'm certain he never will give us, poison, false teaching, false guidance. It will be what the Catholic Church would want him to be, to give to us. So let us on this Good Shepherd Sunday thank the Good Shepherd for all that he's done for us. We can't thank him enough. How would you feel about somebody who died for you? As we know, we'd just be overwhelmed with gratitude our whole lives. This is what hopefully we feel as we look at Jesus on the cross, or the risen Savior, as we see our Lord portrayed here, or as the Good Shepherd. Jesus, you did it for me. And remember that he also said, he even put himself so much among the flock that St. John the Baptist would say, "Behold the Lamb of God." And we hear that in every Mass. Ecce Agnus Dei. The Good Shepherd became the Lamb because in the Old Testament the Paschal Lamb was put to death and sacrificed. And he, as the Lamb, would lay down his life and not complain, not revolt, not rebel, but would just take all that punishment, all that pain, all that rejection as the Lamb. Let's remember him We hear those words, the Lamb of God, that he is the Lamb, but that good shepherd too. We praise thee, O Jesus, our good shepherd, and we thank thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.